God, Matthew punched me. Cameron bit me. And the dog's outside barking at the mailman. And some telemarketer's trying to call me. Ding, ding, ding. Matthew's doing this. And it just goes on and on and on. And I am not joking. There were several times in the course of those years where I said, all I want is peace. Peace and quiet. That's all I want. Just a moment of peace. Now, I suppose in the immediate sense, what I really wanted was an absence of conflict. Okay? Just stop. But I think in the fuller sense, if I would have really thought about it, what I really wanted is for my boys to play nicely. The dog to quit barking. That the boys would get along, that they would work together, that they would cooperate, which they are very good at now, thankfully. But I think one of the problems we have is we often confuse what peace is. We tend to define it just as an absence of conflict. Well, that may be to a degree, but Jesus had a much fuller view of what peace is. It was far more than just no conflict. And it's vitally important for us to understand and know exactly what the Prince of Peace has called us to be as peacemakers. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this word today. Holy Spirit, you have a way of taking your words and working them into our hearts in ways that we may not even see coming. And so that's our prayer, Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to us today in whatever way we need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin by talking about what is the definition of a peacemaker. And what I want to do is break this down into the two words, peace and maker. So the word peace, in a biblical understanding for the Jewish people, that was the word shalom. Now we're familiar with that because at the end of the service, that's what we say. And shalom means peace. So if you think about it, it's kind of funny because at the end we say, go in God's peace, peace, peace. It's a lot of peace that we're trying to get out there, I guess, at the end. But shalom was a common greeting for Jewish people to each other. It's kind of like aloha in Hawaii. You could use it as a greeting and as a goodbye. And while we say, yes, it meant peace, it meant much more than just, hello, how you doing, peace, bro. It meant, I really hope you have a good life. I hope for your well-being. So it had a much richer meaning than just, hey, peace, man. So peace in the biblical sense is not just an absence of conflict. It's completeness. It's a harmony. It's not just meaning nice or tolerant, especially as we've defined those words today, because I think what those tend to lead to is appeasement. We're going to have peace at all costs. I don't care if the conflict is resolved. We just want peace. But peace doesn't just mean appeasement. It seeks reconciliation, which goes far deeper. And then we use the word maker. Now, Jesus uses this term peacemaker. It's very rarely ever seen, that word. And notice he doesn't say a peacekeeper. He doesn't say blessed are the peaceful. Because what does a maker do? Well, yeah, they make things. They create things. They establish things. So there's a big difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper, or being just peaceful. Because a maker is someone who promotes, who works for, who labors for peace. So if we think of it in this sense, a peacemaker is one who actively enters that space between warring parties for the purpose of reconciliation and peace. So it's restoring fractured relationships. It's trying to bind those broken friendships. It's trying to promote the spiritual well-being of the other person. It's bringing shalom. In James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, James writes, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Now that sounds pretty important. So how important is this? Well, It stands to reason that if we are blessed to be peacemakers, if we have found and received God's favor and approval for making peace, then the opposite holds true. That cursed are the peacebreakers, the strife makers, the cake bakers. I really wanted to come up with a third thing because that would have flowed, and I couldn't. So if any of you can think of something that kind of rhymes and goes, and I can give that to the next service, but cake bakers aren't cursed. I love cake bakers, as a matter of fact. But you figure, who's the original peacebreaker? It was Satan. Now, Satan sinned before Adam and Eve ever did. And he continues to sow strife. He loves to sow strife, especially amongst us. And this is an absolute affront to God. It's an affront to his character. It's an affront to what he desires for us. And if you don't believe me, let's listen to Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. It says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You notice how it's building up to the pinnacle of being the person who stirs up conflict in the community. And all of those other things really play a role in stirring up conflict. And God hates this. God detests the person who does this. Now that sounds a little shocking because we don't talk about the things that God hates. So God just loves, loves, loves. Well, hey, guess what? God also hates things. And one of those being the person who stirs up conflict. You know, just remember, all through Scripture, God is referred to as a God of peace. Proverbs 12:20 says, deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace find joy. So we got to be fence menders here. We have to be makers, creators of peace, turning the other cheek, putting others' interests before our own. You know, and as we think about what does this look like, well, what does this look like? I see this going in a couple directions. So there's a couple directions for a peacemaker. The first being vertically, okay, between people and God. A peacemaker, you see, is one who already has been reconciled to God through faith in Christ. They know that he is a God of peace, and so now they seek to share that faith with others, that they too may find this peace. Paul says in Ephesians 6:15, he says, this is the gospel of peace. And of course it's the gospel of peace, because the gospel is simply the story of Jesus coming here as a person, as a human being. It's God in the flesh and dying for our sins, living a perfect life, dying and rising again. And of course that is the gospel of peace, because the greatest peace that a human being can ever know is the peace they find between themselves and God. This is pretty important stuff. Romans 5:10, Colossians 1:21, both those remind us that we were once enemies of God without Christ. Enemies. Now, Romans 5:1 reminds us that we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, there was a time when all of us were at war with God. And here's the truth for you, and this may be another one of those kind of shocking truths, but every single person here today, every single one of us is either at peace with God or is at war with God. Because if peace with God is only found through Jesus Christ, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, then you don't have that peace. And you are still at war with the Almighty. I'll let you in on a secret. You don't win. Ever. And there's really no in-betweens. So as peacemakers, we are to go to those who are still at war with God. And I tell you, this is a big effort. This is requiring everybody's help here. I mean, you can do this through missions, through proclaiming Christ here in our worship services. But most importantly, it's through personal evangelism. Simply you sharing your faith with those who don't know Jesus. I know. For some of you, that sounds awfully scary. Because maybe you think, oh, no, there's too much to lose in that. What if I lose my reputation? What if someone rejects me? What if someone says those horrible words, no, thank you? But friends, when those thoughts come out, first of all, they're all based in fear. But when those thoughts come up, remind yourself of what did Jesus give up to be our peacemaker? Everything. And I'm not just talking about his death, his life as well. His life was always about putting others before himself. And so when we do this, we're simply fulfilling our responsibility as Christ's followers to tell others about Jesus that they may find this peace between themselves and God. You know, I think one of the amazing things with this, and this is a real benefit to being not just a follower of Christ, but being a peacemaker, is you get to experience that true sense of the peace of God within you. This is what Paul called in Philippians 4:7, the peace that passes all understanding. It's that peace that carries us through the storms of life. Boy, we all go through those. This is the peace that Christ gave to his disciples. In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And notice, I want to give you another scripture reference here. This is Paul's kind of take on this whole thing in Colossians 3:15. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." So that's kind of this vertical aspect of peace with God. The horizontal now speaks about peace with other people, and this can take on a couple different views. If I'm having a problem with Ted, you know, then I should be seeking reconciliation. But this also means that if I see a problem between Rick and Ted, I'm obligated to step in and see if we can't come to peace. This goes back to the greatest commandments that Jesus said, love God and love others. So let me give you a few examples from Scripture of what this looks like. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, "If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." Notice Jesus doesn't say, oh, just pretend like there's no conflict. Pretend like it doesn't exist. It'll just go away. No, Jesus says, be proactive with this. Go and be reconciled. Go and be peacemakers. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Jesus says there, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector." Jesus is saying, look, do everything you can to make peace, to find reconciliation, even if that includes bringing along other peacemakers who can step into the situation. Because the reality is, friends, if you haven't noticed this, sin is very real, and it's very disruptive, not just to the individuals involved, but to the whole body as well. It creates a ripple effect. The whole shalom of the church gets affected by this. So is it ever easy to step into a situation like that? Nope, never is. Because peacemaking is hard work. Sometimes you really got to get in there and fight for peace. Because sometimes it involves stepping into a war between two people to mediate, to bring a sense of calmness, of listening, of peace, of reconciliation. And I've got to warn you, when you do this, you may get hurt along the way. Because it's kind of like stepping into the middle of a gunfight. There's a good chance you're going to be shot twice. But if Jesus was willing to give up everything, as Paul says in Colossians 1, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross, then we have to be willing to risk a little bit, or sometimes even a lot, to give all that we can to make peace between others. Ephesians 4:3, Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We heard it in Romans 12. He says, as much as you can do, try and live at peace with everybody. And here's what I think is the real kicker in this whole thing. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they will be called children of God. Okay, that's not a title given to everybody. Every person is a creation of God. But the term child of God is reserved for those who are truly children of God. That means positionally in the family, relationally with God. It just doesn't get any better than that for a human being. Now, of course, that also means that all true followers of Christ have to be peacemakers. Doesn't mean we're perfect in it, but we strive for, we promote peace whenever we can. And there really can't be any exceptions to this, because the children of God, the true children of God, have experienced the God of peace and the peace of God. Because all of us were once children of the devil. We all were once enemies of God. And now, as his kids, and since the mission of Jesus was reconciliation with the Father, of coming in and stopping our own war with God, bringing peace, we must be peacemakers if we are the true children of God. Now, before I get to the last point here, I need to acknowledge one verse. It's actually two. It's in Matthew chapter 10, 34. It's also repeated in Luke's gospel. Because I know someone's going to come up and go, what about this one? Because Jesus says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That seems to unravel everything I just said. No, it doesn't. Because context, context, context. You got to understand what Jesus is talking about here, friends. It's in a conversation he's having about what it costs to follow him. And Jesus knows that the commitment to follow him is going to bring division, even among friends and family. Because Jesus knew his mission was bringing peace between us and God, but he also knew that this would create strife for those who were now on the side of God, who is the great enemy of the world, and those who are still at war with him. Of course, that's going to bring division. But I think that's why it's so important that we are now called on to be peacemakers, to go in the name of Christ and to step into the war and bring peace. So let's talk about point number three, the development of a peacemaker. Simply, how do we do this then? Well, let me give you three things. Number one, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Everything should start right there in prayer. Pray that you receive a fresh dose of the peace of Christ, of Christ's shalom. Number two, be proactive. Look for the means and the methods of making peace. If you wonder kind of what that looks like, look at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Because Paul really puts it out there pretty well, being patient and kind and generous and humble and selfless and self-controlled, forgiving. And how are those things then developed? Well, I think Jesus has told us in these Beatitudes. That's the third thing, is build off of these Beatitudes. This Beatitude is the last of those that describe really our character. And so if you think about this, he starts by saying those who are poor in spirit, that ongoing awareness that when I come to God, I bring nothing. I don't have anything within me that deserves the love, the grace, the forgiveness of God. So I just come before him completely poor. And those in poverty mourn what put them there to begin with, which was our own sin. He then talks about the meek living in humility and gentleness, this power under submission to God, this being spirit bridled. He says those who experience this poverty in spirit, this mourning and meekness, they now will hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he says the reality of their own need for mercy and the receiving of that mercy has then made them merciful to others. And he says, those then that have been cleansed by Christ have pure hearts, focused on him. Their eyes are now open to seeing God. And now, having the war with God ended, infused with the peace of Christ, living in the kingdom, we are now to take the gospel of peace out as peacemakers between man and God and between each other. So friends, I'm going to give you a question that I often ask. When you look at your life, is this you? I'm not talking about being perfect. Of course we're going to make mistakes in all of this. But if you are not about peacemaking, then I don't know if you've ever truly experienced the peace of Christ. Because peacemaking isn't optional. All of these Beatitudes tell us you have to finish with yourself and follow Jesus. You realize what he did for you so that you might enjoy the peace of Christ and this peace with God the Father. And that from that you begin to desire that everybody you know should have this peace. You forget yourself, and you humbly submit to the one who gave everything for our peace. And that's really it. So friends, may God give us the grace to see this blessed, glorious truth and make us reflections and reproductions of the great Prince of Peace, that we may live as children of the God of Peace. Amen. Please stand as we join together in singing our hymn.